Okay, you ready?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So today we're gonna do also a Purim topic. But today our Purim topic is gonna be the question of Matanos Levyonim. What? Purikan? You tell me. The question of Matanos Levyonim. And the first question I wanna pose is, how does this mitzvah relate to the mitzvah of tzedakah? Right, you know that in general there's a mitzvah always to give tzedakah to aniyim. So what's the additional mitzvah of Matanos Levyonim that you find on Purim? What? So you want to think it's an obligation that you have to make sure that the poor person has a suda.
I think that, yes, social justice is very important.
Okay. I mean, so it's to make sure they have a suda. That's what you would say.
And booze.
Okay. Any dissenting views?
By the way, I'm not saying I believe that.
Okay.
No,
I just said it.
Got it.
It's, you're not going to like hearing this, but it's the emotional response to what Amalek was to us. In other words, beating up on the poor, and the stragglers, but the Amalek did to us, leave Ms. William. We're showing that we're compassionate.
Yeah,
we're compassionate.
Read the New York Times.
No, I think that's a very nice idea.
Doesn't say that.
A very nice idea. We'll see if there's any basis for that idea.
No.
Well, no, we'll see. We'll see. Okay, so one view is to say it's related to the suda. It's an obligation to make sure that this poor person has a suda. And the other view is to say that's kind of like a response to Amalek. Right?
Sound like Pesach. Make sure a guy has four.
It's not. Okay, so everybody remember that Mitch just said this is not like Pesach where you have an obligation to make sure that the person has Dalet Kosos.
Right.
Okay.
We'll see.
Oh,
I think there are some people who give that exact analogy.
It is?
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see that in a minute.
Couldn't you just invite somebody to your house for the Suda as a way to...
Yeah, maybe that would be a way of fulfilling Matanos Levyonim.
We'll see.
Yeah. Okay. So the first thing we have to demonstrate is there any halachic difference between the nature of Matanos Levyonim and the actual halacha of tzedakah that you find all year round? So the first source you have on page 1 is a Gemara in Bava Metzia. It's really tucked away in a larger discussion of the Gemara. And the Gemara quotes this Braisa. Tanya. Did Tanya. Migvas Purim lePurim. Any funds that are dedicated for Purim, so they have to be used for or on Purim. Migvas Ha'ir leOsa Ha'ir. Any money that's collected by a certain town for tzedakah, that money has to be used for that town for which it was donated. V'ein medaktikin bedavar. Okay, and you don't calculate this mitzvah. Okay, very cryptic phrase. What does that mean? Ein medaktikin bedavar. You don't calculate this mitzvah. How do you translate that? Assume it's talking about matanos levyonim. What does it mean ein medaktikin? You don't calculate it.
Maybe it's not part of your maaseh.
What does that mean?
Like you don't count it as your tzedakah for the year.
Okay, that'd be very interesting. That's a very important question. I mean, in medaktikin bedavar would mean that you can't like calculate this towards your general tzedakah spending. That'd be interesting. Okay, so look at Rashi, next source. Rashi says, Migvas Purim lePurim, what are you collecting this money for Purim for? Ma'ol shegoven hagabayin ribnei ha'ir, it's the funds that the gabai collects, l'chalek la'aniyim, to distribute to poor people, l'su'udas Purim. Very good. All right. So the emphasis of Rashi here is clearly that the mitzvah of Matanos Levyonim is to ensure that these poor people have a suda on Purim, that they have a meal. Okay? Lipurim, next Rashi. Kula yitnua la'aniyim de Purim. Ve'ein medaktikin bedavar. What does it mean that you can't calculate it? Lomar dayim bepachos. Let's say the shul collects $100,000 for poor people on Purim. So the gabbai can't say, well, we only have $30,000 worth of spending on aniyim. Right? How great of a suda could these people have? So we'll spend $30,000 for their suda, and we'll put away the other $70,000 for tzedakah the rest of the year. Right? Why spend it all on Purim? So Rashi says, no. What it means that you can't calculate the matanos levyonim, it means you can't say that they could suffice with less. V'hamosar yipol l'kis shel tzedakah, and we'll put away the rest of the funds to distribute the rest of the year. Rather, what should you do? I'll just tell you, Rashi says, it means you have to spend all $100,000 on their suda, and whatever's left over after Purim, then you could use it and allocate it for something else. But you can't anticipate in advance how much they're going to use. Very uneconomical.
What if that, I mean, last week was a shkol, right? So the midrash was they collected the shkol, and then adkan, whatever they used, but if there was excess, then it went towards...
Right, but here you're collecting like excess in advance, and yet you're saying that you're obligated to use it all on Purim.
Same thing with the shkol.
Right.
But if it was, but if the upkeep, if you collected $100,000 in shkolim, and the maintenance was $40,000, you didn't spend the other $60,000 to embellish the maintenance. It was used for public korbanos for the rest of the year.
Right. So that's very different from what you find over here.
Right. Very. Different.
Right. Absolutely. All right. So this seems to be something unique to the mitzvah matanos lavionim, that the Torah says you have to spend it all on Purim, and then only once Purim is over could you use it for other tztafa. I would note that if you look at the look at the Ritva next source on the page. He translates that's Rashi's translation of Ein Medaktikin B'Davar, right? You can't just decide how much will be necessary for Purim. Okay, there might be something embedded in there. What does the Ritva say? Kolomar she'Ein Medaktikin B'Davar Lomar Imhu Ani V'Roy Litein Lo Imlav. You don't start checking into the guy's background who asks you on Purim for tzedakah. Right? It's a kind of kol ha'poshet yado nosen lo. Anybody who comes to you on Purim and asks for tzedakah, so you have an obligation to give him. Whereas for tzedakah in general, so you're supposed to check the credentials of the person. You don't want to end up giving away money to somebody who doesn't deserve it. But on Purim, there's a special ein medaktikin b'davar. You don't check into his background. Why? How can that be? So look at the Ritva's very very legal formulation. Ela nosen l'chol adam sheyavo v'yitva, you give to anybody who comes and asks. She'ein yom zeh midin staka bilvad. The obligation to give matanos le'avionim on Purim is not a function of your general obligation to give tztaka. Ela midin simcha. It's a function of your obligation to celebrate and be joyous. Umanos. Just like you have an obligation to give matanos to give shalach manos to your neighbors. Shaharei af ba'ashirim ksiv u'mishalach manos ish l'reyehu. Just like you don't have to be discerning in who you give shalach manos to. So the mitzvah of giving matanos levionim is not to make sure that you're actually giving it to a poor person. It doesn't matter if he's actually poor. The obligation is to, you know, that everyone's celebrating together. It's more joyous if you know you're giving money to somebody who could use it. He doesn't have to have the halachic status as an ani. Okay?
Can evion and ani a synonym?
We'll see. So evion, what we say matanos levionim. Evion we usually assume is like more destitute than a normal ani. Yeah. Okay. I guess it would depend on the community. Yeah, we'll see. I think most people actually do take this interpretation of the Ritva over Rashi. Because Rashi has this notion that you can't allocate funds for Matanos Levionim. I think we generally accept the Ritva over that position of Rashi.
You're giving money to the poor, but you're giving money to the poor, not just, you know.
Whatever. Well, if somebody comes to your door, so normally let's say you'd ask him for a certificate, right? Like we were just talking about. But
initially,
right, but on Purim, you know, somebody comes to your door, so you give them even without having a certificate. Okay, let me give you. So that's one important difference between stock on Purim and all year round. Now, look at Tosfos's question in the Gemara. Next source on the page, Tosfos Maseches Bamitzia Ayin Chesam Ebeis Migvas Purim LePurim. Okay, which means that if the shul collected funds for Purim, they have to use it for Matanos LeAvyonim. Okay, they can't use it for anything else. V'im Tomar. The Amrinan be'erchin, the Gemara in Erchin says explicitly, Ma'o shel tztaka mutter lishanosan b'chol ma'asha yirtza, v'afilu bo lidei gabai. Somebody comes to the gabai of the shul, gives him money, so the gabai has the authority to say that I'm going to use this money not for tztaka, but I'm going to use it for some other mitzvah. I mean, the gabai has authority to decide how those funds are used. V'afilu amar menorah zu lebedek gabai. Somebody comes to the shul and says, I want this menorah to be in the mizrach of the shul. That's what I'm dedicating it for. So mutar l'shanos l'mitzvah acheras. The gabbai has the right to say that we need this menorah for something else.
Certainly, we're mishpat of the Abba Kosher. And there, you're supposed to sell your clothing and everything. So Pesach's around the corner. You think a gabbai is in charge of the funds might say, I want to hold on to some money.
Yeah, and use it for matanos levyonim for Pesach. Right. But here Tosfos is pointing out, even though for general tztaka you're able to do that, when it comes to matanos levyonim, you're never allowed to use it for anything else. Okay, that's the Gemara. So how do you reconcile them? V'yesh lomar, d'davka b'purim amrinan hacha, de'en l'shanos. For some reason, this halacha in the Gemara here is unique to matanos levionim of Purim, but Tosus doesn't explain why. Okay? Look at the Ramban's addition to this point. Ramban says, haditznan migvas purim l'purim. You'll see the Ramban will counter what we saw in Rashi a minute ago. Ramban says, motar migvas purim, whatever's left over from the funds from matanos levionim, she'im hosiru yehe l'purim haba. Rashi said that after you spend all the money on Purim Suda for the Aniyim, whatever's left over can now be used, let's say, for matanos, for most chitim of Pesach. That's what Rashi learned. You just can't preempt it. After Purim, you can do whatever you want with it. The Ramban goes further and says whatever money is left over from this Purim has to be allocated specifically for next year's Purim. Right? So Purim money can never be changed into regular Purim, into regular tzedakah for other causes. Very fascinating. That's why does the tzedakah of Purim have this special law?
You do that with hamantash and the extra hamantash.
You don't use them for Pesach. Yeah,
last year we give out next
year. Okay, like I said, you don't use them for Pesach.
Correct.
Okay. Now there's another fascinating halacha here. Until now, we've been discussing about whose responsibility not to change the mos of matanos levionim, the gabai, right, the person in charge of the shul's funds. But look at this next halacha in the Gemara, bottom of page 1. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Migvas Purim lePurim, Ve'ein ha'ani rashai likach mehem ritzua l'sandalo. The ani, who received the matanos levionim, he's not allowed to use that money now to buy, let's say, shoelaces, as the Gemara's example.
Unless they're
chocolate covered. Meaning he has to use the tzedakah that he got on Purim for his suda on Purim, for his expenses on Purim. Okay, that's the Gemara. Now you'll see most Rishonim actually just leave this Gemara out. The Rambam doesn't codify this Gemara. He leaves it out. The Tur does codify it. So it's Machlokes Rishonim whether or not this halacha actually applies contemporaneously.
Is he allowed to use it for Matanos
Lavionim? The Ani? Well, we'll see. Doesn't Ani have a Chiv of Matanos Lavionim? Okay, we'll get that in a second. So this is also a very peculiar halacha. Nobody thinks that there are laws that govern what a poor person is allowed to do with the general tzedakah that he gets. This is something unique to the Matanos Levionim that you find on Purim. What? Can't buy cigarettes. I don't know, maybe you could. Now, let me give you another discrepancy. On the top of page 2, they have a discussion of the Bach. Bach wrote a commentary on the tour. Chayev kol adam. The tour opens his presentation that every man is obligated to give Matanos Levionim. Kilomar. So why does he say kol adam, every man? Kolomar kol adam afilu ani hamikabel tzedaka chayiv. Even a pauper who himself receives tzedaka, so he has an obligation to give matanos levionim on Purim. Okay, chayiv laseis mimasha nasnu lo l'shar avyonim. He has to give a portion of what he got from other people and forward it to another ani. Bipurim, why? De'ein din matanos levionim bipurim kedin shar tzedaka. Because this is a new law of matanos levionim, distinct from the law of tzedakah that you find all year round. The hechsher mitzvahs purim kenhu. Because that's the law of matanos levionim. Mitch, you listening? Uchidin arba kosos bepesach. Just like the four kosos of Pesach. An ani is obligated to have four kosos on Pesach. He's obligated to give matanos levionim on Purim. If you don't like it, you're not happy.
Why hechsher mitzvahs?
Isn't that the way the Torah articulated this principle of matanos levionim? Why should an ani be exempt? He's not exempt from dalet kosos. Va'afilu mishloach manos chayavim boho aniyim. Just like a poor person is obligated to give mishloach manos, so too he's obligated in this mitzvah matanos levionim. Aval, skip to the next bold sentence. Aval shar tzaka dechol hashana ein ani hamakabel tzaka chayiba. For the tzaka of the all year round, an ani is only obligated to give once. He has to give one symbolic symbolic giving of tzedakah. Pam achas bashana yitein davar muad litzedakah kedei lekayim mitzvah tzedakah. Now it seems from the Bach that this ani doesn't fulfill his obligation even of giving tzedakah through giving his matanos levionim. Right, it seems like they're distinct obligations. Okay. Well, it's not tzedakah. It's like dalet kosos. It's a mitzvah as part of the day of Purim, part of celebrating the day of Purim. So we'll have to see exactly. We'll have to better define what this is. Okay, right now I'm just trying to show you kind of have this deflection here. You have mitzvah tzedakah and you have mitzvah matanos levionim. Okay. Another very interesting question is based off a Gemara in Gittin. The Gemara in Gittin says that there's no obligation to give tzedakah to a non-Jew. Okay, the mitzvah of tzedakah is only to give to Jews inside the Jewish community. However, the Gemara says that because of this problem, mishum eva, mipnei darkei shalom, right, it would cause bad relations between Jews and their neighbors if you didn't give tzedakah. So therefore, we have this kind of quasi-mitzvah to give tzedakah to non-Jews when you're giving tzedakah to Jews. Okay, so if it's kind of like a parent that you're only giving to Jewish organizations, you have to give a little bit to a non-Jewish organization so they don't have complaints.
They don't have what?
They don't have complaints. Right, it doesn't look like it's a kind of discrimination. Mipnei darkei shalom. Some people want to argue that mipnei darkei shalom doesn't mean literally for good, you know, political relations. They want to say darkei shalom is like a inherent religious value of causing peace in the world, and that's why, like a kind of a social justice argument. What? You're choking over. Okay. So now, what about does that mipnei darkei shalom, this law of giving tzedakah to non-Jews, mipnei darkei shalom, does that carry over to Matanos Levionim? So let's say you're giving Matanos Levionim to Jews, so is it okay to also give some Matanos Levionim to non-Jews? Right, so I think for sure people would say you're not yotzei the mitzvah. The question is, does that bother you, like, fundamentally? Like, are you allergic to the notion that you could also give Matanos Levionim to non-Jews? Or do you say, no, just like by tzedakah, we have this a little more of a liberal definition. So too for Matanos Levionim. Okay, so just want you to see the language of a tshuva of Rashi, the way his Talmidim write down what happened. That's the next source. Beis Yosef Or HaChaim Simen Tav Reish Tadi Daled. V'ha-hagos ma'imonios kasvu, she-kasav Talmud Echad lifnei Rashi. Right, we have these works of Rashi's Talmidim. Ra'isi b'nei Adam. Rashi says, I see people. She-noagim l'chalik matanos b'purim. This is great. This is Rashi writing in the 11th century. Rashi says, I see people who give matanos of Purim le'avadim u'lishifchos, right, to their servants. Goyim, Gentile servants, ha'omdin b'batzei Yisrael, who work in Jewish homes, right? You know, somebody wrote a thesis that, you know, all the Jews in the Middle Ages were kind of middle to upper class, because you have so many of these tshuvos asking about, you know, what a non-Jew could do for them on Shabbos, and, like, could they give suck? So you see they had all these non-Jewish employees, right? So the response was that by that logic, you could prove that only Jews died in the Middle Ages. Because all the tshuvos are about Yerusha of Jews. No questions about Yerusha of non-Jews. So, but this is like, you have this question, a lot. So Rashi's upset. Rashi sees that people are giving matanos levyonim to their non-Jewish workers. V'hadavar hukshe be'enei Rebbe. And the matter was troubled Rashi a lot. Lefisha nemar, umatanos le'evyonim. Okay, it's a strange proof. Right, since the Torah says matanos levyonim, v'zeh hanosin pruta le'eved, somebody who gives the money instead to a servant, gozel la'aniyim. Right, he's stealing from the Jewish paupers. Now this is a bit, you might say, what about in a case where it doesn't come at the expense of the evyonim who are Jewish? It's kind of just an addition. Right, so it's not clear. So the first rationale that Rashi gives seems to say that as long as it doesn't come at the expense of your Jewish workers, then it's fine. Umare ba'atzmo ki'ilu mekaye matanos hane'emarim be'evyone Yisrael. Now he says, but there's a problem because he makes it seem as if he's fulfilling his mitzvah with giving it to non-Jews, even though the mitzvah itself was expressly given to Jews. The Kasav Rebbe and Rashi said, "Shetov mimenu lizarkan liyam." Better that you should throw the money into the ocean. Shemara shematanos hayom af legoyim, because you're giving off the impression that part of the mitzvah of Purim is to give money to non-Jewish workers. Okay, so Rashi kind of has this very sharp reaction to this minhag.
But I
just want to highlight it. Look at the Ramban's comments on the Gemara in the next source. V'chein minhag b'chol Yisrael. This is the minhag of all the Jews. This is Ramban commenting on ein medaktikin b'davar. You shouldn't check the credentials of the person who's asking you. The Ramban says not only does it mean you shouldn't check to see how poor he is, v'afilu litein legayim, even to give tzedakah to non-Jews. The whole of the ein medaktikin b'davar, since you shouldn't check, v'nosnun l'chol. Right, so if you're giving to everybody who walks into your door and a non-Jew walks in, you don't give it to him, so you could have a problem of hatred. Right, so Ramban was actually sanctioning, to some extent, this practice. Rashi said it's impossible. Right, so I think...
But isn't Ramban saying that you're not allowed to ask for his credentials, but the guy comes in with his crucifix hanging out, does that make it different?
No, because he's saying that this non-Jew is going to see that everyone else walks in and gets Matanos Levyonim. Well, suddenly he's sent away,
so
cold.
In the morning, we'll put on sittis and they ask for money.
And they?
Yeah, these guys go around, they put on sittis
and they do. Oh, and they? Yeah, it's like the, you know, the famous story with the guy who's pulled over on the side of the road. Right, and you're driving by and you see this like guy with a yarmulke and tzitzis, you know, with a flat tire. It's like you pull over and you start like, talking to him and like, oh, you fix his tire. And then you say, oh, like, where do you daven? He's like, oh, I'm not Jewish. That's my friend told me if I ever get stuck with a flat tire, put on a yarmulke and tzitzis, then someone will pull over. So I think what Rashi's bothered by here, even though tzedakah in general is given to non-Jews, right, Rashi feels this is like part of the mitzvah of Purim. This notion that we're celebrating the Nes of Purim together. To include a non-Jew in celebrating the Nes of Purim is somewhat antithetical. Right? So Rashi kind of sees the mitzvah Matanos Levyonim as more closely associated with like Dalet Kosos. It's one of the mitzvahs of the day. Okay.
But also, if the purpose of the Matanos is to enable the poor to have the Purim Suda and enjoy
it, right, then it wouldn't apply. Right. But the question is, would it bother you that you're giving it to a non-Jew? I mean, it's one thing to say that you're not fulfilling your mitzvah. Rashi says, better to throw it into the yam, better to throw it into the ocean. If it's simply you're missing out on helping him, right, he shouldn't have said it's better to do away with the money.
Well, Rashi's position is difficult altogether because...
For some reason, I suspected that that would be your...
It's a very difficult position because it's clear that these people are giving Matanos Levyonim to Jews as well. So they're... If there's ever going to be Ava, it's going to be on Purim. So I don't know what's troubling Rashi here. I mean, that's the day for Ava. The king of the days for Ava. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, the lines are lining up in front of your house for money, and Rashi's all excited that you might give a little money to a non-Jew on the day. You've already fulfilled, isn't it, your mitzvah fulfilled? So after the first two...
Right, the way this quotation here is a little clipped. If you look at the fuller quotation in the Hagos Maimonios, so he also quotes this thing from this medrash from the Chida Egel, where he says the analogy is to a man who invites like guests over, right? And they think they're all, you know, they're very special because he invites them. 10 minutes later, he invites like their biggest enemies, you know, and they walk in for the suda. He says this guy thinks that he's accommodating everybody, but after a couple of minutes, his initial guests leave because they're upset that he invited their enemies. He says that's the analogy of somebody who gives Matanos Levyonim to Jews and non-Jews on Purim.
I think
Rashi would contend that this is so inherent to celebrating the day of Purim that Matanos Levyonim can't be given to non-Jews at all.
So Ava can be created.
Yeah.
I can't help but think that there's this element of simcha, exactly, the giving tzedaka, and it's atchaloyata. So what's the difference, you know?
Oh yeah, it's like a recurring theme over here. That's a very nice association. Ein medaktkin bedavar is kind of parallel to like this, you know, we don't, you know, the lines that usually separate things aren't as clear on Purim.
It doesn't come up in any other issue, situation where we're being kind to other people, like, say, Kol Dich V'Yisrael, or just tzedakah in general. It never does the gabbai in any institution, should he throw a couple of shekels to a guy just for...
That's the question, I guess, in a society where you don't have to worry about Darkei Shalom, you don't have to worry about Eva, then would you still apply the principle? I think that's an open question. Okay. So now that we've seen that there are some important differences between Matanos Levyonim and Tzedakah in general. So one example we saw is Ein Medaktkin. You don't check their credentials. Another example is, in general, the Gabbai has the authority to switch it from Tzedakah to some other mitzvah. When it comes to Matanos Levyonim, all of a sudden he doesn't have that authority. Right, the Ramban even said that the same money has to be used, the leftovers has to be used for Purim for the next year. Right, so Purim money is always designated for Purim. Then we saw another halacha in the Gemara. The Gemara said that even the Ani himself can't use the money for anything other than his celebration of Purim. Right, so everything's kept as an internal Purim celebration. Then we saw the Chiddush of the Bach, that even though an Ani himself has a very minimal obligation to give tzedakah, right, he just gives one little tzedakah all year, on Purim, he has a separate chiv to give, just like Dalet Kosos on Pesach. And then we find another debate about the nature of Matanos Levyonim, whether it extends even to non-Jews. Not whether the mitzvah does, but whether this concern of Mishum Eva that we have for tzedakah all year round, does that extend even to Matanos Levyonim on Purim? So now I want to know, where does the mitzvah Matanos Levionim fit in to the rest of the mitzvahs of the Day of Purim? Right, you have Mikra Megillah, you have Seuda, you have Simcha. Right, so which one of these themes is the mitzvah Matanos Levionim connected to? So the first source you have on page 2, I just think is very telling. The Rosh quotes the position of Rabbeinu Tam, who argues, there is this little discussion, which is the main Megillah reading? The reading at night or the reading at day? So the Rosh here quotes the position of Rabbeinu Tam. You can see on the second line of page 2. This was a little of a, it's an important halachic question, because even though you already made the bracha on the Megillah at night, are you able to make a new bracha on the Megillah during the day? Why isn't it in, which one's the real mitzvah? If you already fulfilled the mitzvah at night, you shouldn't make the bracha again. So the Rosh quotes Rabbeinu Tam, second line in the Rosh on page 2, last source. Hayomer Rabbeinu Tam, af al pi shebirech zman belayla, chozer umivarech zman af bayom. Even though you made a shehecheyanu at night, you can make a new shehecheyanu during the day. The ikar kriyasa havet bayom. The real kriyasa Megillah is the day one. Mi belayla, more than the night. The hachi mashma lishna dikra, ekra yomam af al pi shelayla lo dumyali. The karasi layla bayom te ikar hakriya. Vigam, the bold section. In addition, ikar persume nisa hu bayom, the celebration and the spreading of the miracle, persume nisa, is during the day. How do I know that? Because bizman mishtev is simcha, it's the time when you're celebrating and rejoice. Umatanos levyonim, you're giving money to the aniyim, and mishloach manos. So it seems that the Rosh classifies matanos levyonim as being part of persume nisa. It's a way of spreading the miracle of Purim. So just like you spread it by going to shul to hear the Mikra Megillah, just like you spread it by giving gifts to other people, you spread it that now the aniyim are happy, they know there's something special about the miracle. Right? It's a way of spreading the story of Purim. That's the way the Rosh seems to have it.
The Suda is during the day. The other halachas are not day
halachas. Oh, so it might be, we'll see. Some people think that these are specific to the day.
Oh, day halachas?
Yeah, you have to give Matanos Levionim only really during the day. Mishloach Manos has to be during the day. Yeah. Yeah, people discuss that. Yeah. Because presumably this... Yeah, during the day. Yeah, I don't know if I don't... Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I think that's the way the Shulchan Aruch rules. Okay, so that would be one perspective. It's the concept of persume nisa. Top of page 3.
Really?
Yeah.
Who's persume nisa for?
Usually for the Jewish community, we assume.
At large.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So Rashi in Bav Mitzia, Ayin Chesem Beis, as we saw earlier, Rashi says that Migvas Purim LePurim means that the money has to be used for the Seuda. Right? So this is like you were suggesting. That it's not a separate obligation of giving money to the poor. It's simply an obligation that I have to make sure that he's celebrating Purim the right way. Part of the celebration of Purim is that he has a Suda. So I have to go ahead and make sure that he has a Suda. Right, so it would seem, according to this position of Rashi, the best way of fulfilling Matanos Levionim is to actually give food to the Ani. Right, give him what he needs for his meal. It's not an obligation to give him money. According to the first view, that it's just a matter of persume nisa, of spreading the miracle. So they know that there's something special about Purim because they're getting added stuff. Okay, it has nothing to do with actual food. The Ramban, third source on page 3, seems to offer a third association for the mitzvah of Matanos Levionim. Ve'ein medaktikin bedavar lomar ani zeh roi v'ani zeh eino roi. The reason why you don't distinguish between people's credentials is Elanosan Lachol, Kidei Shaya Hakol Smeichin Imanu. So that everybody should just be in celebration. Bain Roy, Bain Shaino Roy. Right? It's just about making people happy. It's not about an obligation to the poor. It's not about making sure that you're doing it the right way. There's more celebration when you're giving out money to people who are asking. Okay? There's extra and added simcha. Okay. Everybody good? There seems to be a very interesting... Let's look at the Rambam, bottom of page 3. The Rambam also associates mitzvah Matanos Levionim with a kind of simcha, but in a very unique way. Meaning, I could argue that the reason why there's simcha in Matanos Levionim is because the recipient is now excited that he receives something extra. But the Rambam argues the exact opposite. The Rambam argues the reason why there's extra simcha for Matanos Levionim is because the giver has an added level of simcha. Right, so it's not to increase simcha for the ani, it's to increase simcha for the person who's giving. Let's look at the Rambam.
Well, that also
The Rambam actually may not. Okay? That's definitely not, that doesn't seem to be part of the obligation of tzedakah, but let's see what the Rambam says here. At least in the context of Purim, that's how the Rambam understands it. Which might be a basis to distinguish between Purim and tzedakah all year round. Mutav la'adam laharbos b'matanos avyonim, milaharbos b'su'udasu v'shloach manos l'reyav. If you have a question as to what you should spend more on, your su'uda and shalach manos on the one hand, or matanos l'avyonim, the Rambam says, spend most of it on matanos l'avyonim. That's more important. She'ein sham simcha gedola mefuara. There's no greater simcha, or there's no more beautiful simcha. Ela l'sameach lev ha'aniyim, to make the aniyim happy, v'yisomim, the orphans, v'almanos, and the widows, the gerim, and converts. Sheha misameach lev ha'umlalim, somebody who is misameach, the hearts of the people who are depressed. Ha'elu, what?
Unfortunate.
The unfortunate, or the downtrodden. Dome l'shchina. So he is compared to the Shechina. Shenemar, l'hachios ruach shvalim, l'hachios lev nitkayim. Because the pasuk says about Hashem, that Hashem makes the unfortunate b'simcha. He revives, he rekindles their spirit. That's the way the Rambam says it. So the Rambam says that this is part of your simcha. Because when you're helping out somebody who's in distress on Purim, so now you feel like you've made a very big difference for someone. That's the mitzvah matanos levyonim. So now it's a question, what's a greater simcha for you? To indulge in your shalachmanos, and to indulge in your suda, or to help out somebody who's down? So Rambam says the latter is a greater kiyum of your simchas Purim. Right. Right. So.
Very powerful statement.
Right. It's kind of like imitating what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does.
Is this a big chiddush? It's better to help the unfortunate than to have another state?
With respect to the mitzvah.
Excuse me, doctor, except for Dr. Boyd.
With respect to the mitzvah of Matanos Levyonim, yes. Because you might not say that with respect to. Well, the Rambam has a parallel halacha also in Hilchos Yom Tov. The Rambam says that when it comes to Hilchos Yom Tov, you have an obligation to also make a suda for poor people. Because the Rambam says if you indulge in your suda, that's simchas kreso. That's like, you know, just a kind of a gluttonous simcha. But if you help out aniyim, that's like a simcha shel mitzvah. Right? That's a spiritual simcha.
So
it's not specific to Purim, but the Rambam doesn't formulate it as a mitzvah of tzedakah on Hilchos Yom Tov.
It might be generic.
Right, but it's definitely more emphasized here in Hilchos Purim.
What is this? Because the Ritva just said this is just a din of simcha.
As did the Ramban, right?
Yes. What is it? One or the other. Is it tzedakah or is it simcha? Which is here, you know?
So the Ritva and the Ramban would say for sure it's a mitzvah of simcha. The Rambam would say it's a mitzvah of simcha, but the Rambam is emphasizing that it's the simcha of the person who's giving it. The Ramban and the Ritva don't necessarily say that.
Do I have to enjoy giving the money?
Do you?
Let's say I don't.
So then I think the Rambam formulates it as like a, almost like a prescriptive statement. She'ein sham simcha gdol mafura el esameach. It's late. Sorry.
It sounds like to me this is
an expression of simcha.
Simcha.
Right, but you're saying, do you have to feel it, or is this kind of like an objectively defined simcha?
Well, but isn't that also one of the other things in general when you give tzedakah, and this may not be applicable today, on this day, on Earth. In general, when you give tzedakah, one of the things that you're giving to somebody that needs it, let's say the recipient doesn't really need it, have you fulfilled your obligation? Isn't that one of the questions that comes up in terms of fulfilling your mitzvah of tzedakah?
Yeah, especially for Matanos Levyonim. Here we say that you don't need to know whether he actually needs it or not.
Right, but in general, if you gave tzedakah to somebody that doesn't need it, you've not really given tzedakah?
Right, that's what it seems like. It has to be making it. He has to be an ani in order for you to fulfill your obligation. Yeah. So I would just say, coming back to Dr. Foyer's initial point, that you could read the Rambam just as being an expression of simcha. Like, or you could say that the Rambam's last pasuk that he quotes here, that you're dome l'shchina, you're imitating the ways of Hashem because he revives the spirit of the people who are oppressed or downtrodden. So you could say that's like part of the essential theme of the day of Purim, of the Vinapochu. Right, the whole story of the Megillah is that you have these people who are on the brink of despair, or they're going to be annihilated. Then you have like this miracle or this intervention where Vinapochu, they're saved. The whole theme of the Megillah is lahachios ruach shvalim v'lev nitkayim. It's the transformation of what happened to the Jews in Shushan. So just if that's the case, then it would make sense that the mitzvah of matanos le'avyonim is inherently connected with the mitzvah of kriyas ha-Megillah. It's like connected with the story of what happens in the Megillah itself. So I'll just point out that you find in the Mishnayos that the Gemara asks, how come you can't have kriyas ha-Megillah on Shabbos? Right? Whenever Purim falls out on Shabbos, so we push off the kriyas ha-Megillah. Right? So the Gemara says, why do we do that? According to one opinion, it's a concern that you might carry the Megillah in a public domain. Right? Which, by the way, the Rishonim asked that if you hold of Kluta or Mahalik Omeidam, if you hold, they say it's ridiculous that we have this concern that you might walk 4 amos in Rosh Hashanah, if the only way of violating 4 amos in Rosh Hashanah is if you jump. Right? Why are you concerned about that? If it's just they actually going to jump 4 amos. Okay. But the Gemara in Megillah suggests a different answer. That's because of Matanos Levyonim. Since you can't give Matanos Levyonim on Shabbos, because money is Muktzah, so you can't have Kriyas HaMegillah at all. That's the Gemara here on the middle of page 3.
You can have flesh and some drink and have simcha, because who cares about it's a simcha element, it's not so much the stuff.
Okay, that's a sharp point.
Yeah.
That's a sharp point. Yeah, but I guess generally... that's a good point. But generally it takes the form of... Generally it takes the form of actual money. Yeah. Okay, so it's very interesting. So Tosus Rid also, that's one point. So you see that they're inherently connected. And the second point is that Tosus Rid says that the Gemara, the Mishnayos and Megillah talk about cases where these small towns that don't have Minyanim, so they push their Kriyas HaMegillah up a couple of days. Right? Because they would come in for the market days. Right, Mondays and Thursdays they would come into the big cities to do business. So they would catch a minion in the big city. So the Gemara says that they read the Megillah early. So the question is, when are they supposed to give Matanos Levyonim? Should they give it on the day of Purim in their town? Or does it have to be connected with the Kriyas HaMegillah that's done earlier? So Tosafot Rid, you have in the second to last source, argues that it has to be connected with the Kriyas HaMegillah. So I would say that it has to do with this idea. That part of the mitzvah of Matanos Levyonim is that it's part of the expression of the story of what happened in Shushan, of the Lahachios Lev Nitkayim, the rekindling of the spirits of the Jewish people. So that's an obligation that you have on Purim to rekindle the spirits of the Jews around you. Okay. That's the mitzvah of Matanos Levyonim.